When he told Paul, when he appeared before him, he said, preach remission of sin to the lost, but to the sanctified. He said, to those who are saved and sanctified, you preach inheritance. Acts 26, 19 said, preach inheritance. We have preached inheritance. The day of Jubilee was given the day you were born again. The acceptable year of the Lord was given to us. Just like we were made sons, you were made an heir the day you were born again. You might not be walking in it yet, but you were made an heir. You were made royalty. Literally translated out of darkness, born again into a house of royalty. In the world, you're not born equal. There are certain people born in privilege. But in the kingdom of God, you are born in a privileged state. Everyone is born in a privileged state. But that privilege has to be accessed by faith. And the enemy will fight that every day of your life. And you have to be more determined to win than he is. And you have to wage a warfare, not just with authority, but by wisdom. We have to access by wisdom and by the glory of God. We have to do it the way God said do it. But there is a day that he leads us to the realm of inheritance. Out of the darkness, out of Egypt. There are times people want to turn back. I can't understand for the life of me why somebody wants to turn back into that realm. There are some other people who want to stay in the wilderness, but we are not those that are going to stay camped in the wilderness. There was a day for the wilderness, but now there's a day to cross over. There was a day of Gilgal when he said, circumcise again. Cut it off. Let go of Egypt. Let go of the wilderness. Let go of the reproach and get ready. They came out with the wealth of Egypt. They robbed and spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians were quite ready to let him go. God had so torn down that city with judgment that they said, get out, take our silver, take our gold, wear it around your necks, just leave. Burying their firstborn, they walked out into a wilderness with no place to spend all that wealth. They didn't know what to do with it. They made a golden calf, but God said, no, 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 no. This belongs to my house. But then he leads them into the promised land. He's going to do it all over again. He leads them right into the prized possession of the promised land. Jericho, fortified city. He said, see Joshua. He come out to meet Joshua. Appeared Joshua, didn't know who he was. He didn't know it was the Lord. This man had a sword drawn. Joshua, they were warriors. They weren't just priests. They were warriors. Joshua pulled his sword out, walked out there. He said, are you for us or against us? Because you and me are going to get on this today. Then the Lord revealed himself to him. And then he fell at his feet and there was that holy ground moment. There's always a holy ground moment of separation where God ordained Jesus himself, incarnate flesh, come out and he ordained Joshua for the battle of Jericho. He put the anointing that Moses had on him. He put it on Joshua. He was ready in that holy ground separation. The same thing happened to Jacob and Peniel. It's the face-to-face encounters of God that separate us to our calling. It's where a part of us dies and a new part lives. It's where one part's going to get buried and a whole nother part's coming forward. The inheritor heir will come out in this hour. That's why he said circumcise again. In Egypt, there's always a day of circumcision. There's always a day of cutting away before God launches. But we are living in the hour of inheritance. I will preach this till Jesus returns, but not just preach it. We're walking in it now. We are in the realm. We've been in it for quite some time. The world's a little slow. It takes a little while to catch up. But those who know how to have their spirit, they get their spirit in the Word of God. The Word of God will translate you out of this realm. It'll move you into what you consider future, what God considers truth. It'll open the realm of truth and live in the reality of God's truth and His fullness. Walking out into the fields You know how many times we've been in the Jericho? Probably 500 already. I've went through this battle 500 times. I win every single time. It's awesome. There is no other outcome but see that I have given. He wasn't done. They should not have made a chapter 6 there. They should not have separated chapter 5, chapter 6, because somehow they think Joshua is out of the encounter and the Lord's just speaking to him. He is still standing before him. He is standing in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord walks him out into a battle in the face of God, and he wins it before he even starts it. That is what's happening to us right now. And we win every single time. There is no other outcome. I don't hit a wall when I'm perambulating with God and like suddenly he changed his mind. I had the same outcome every time. The acceptable year of the Lord. Jericho was always designed by God to be given. They were ready to inherit. See, there's a time we have to get ready to inherit. It's like inherit or heir. You might be heir to a throne, heir to a fortune, heir to an inheritance. But if you're not ready, and the Bible even says, as long as you're a child, you're going to be treated like one until you grow up and get ready. The kind of maturity that God has. It's like Joseph, he's telling him who he is when he's 18, spoiled brat by his daddy. It's no wonder his brothers hate him. His dad gave him the coat of many colors. His dad favored him. His dad gave him all the favor. All the brothers hated him for it. But God was on him. But he didn't know what to do with the inheritance. In the beginning, he says, your sheaf's going to rise above sun and the moon. And he goes and tells his brother, I'm going to rise above mom and dad. And you too. He basically tells him, the brother says, you think we want to hear that? He didn't know what to do. He wasn't ready. He had to get processed. But then you get ready. You come to an arrival time in God. It's arrival time, destination time, where God's word is true and every man can be a liar, but God's word. It doesn't matter how many are against you. When God's word is for you and when God's voice is for you, when he says time, it's time. It doesn't matter if you're a Jacob or not. He'll change you with a spoken word. I don't see you as Jacob anymore. You are Israel from this day forward. You are a reigning prince with me. I will never refer to you again. Your name is no longer Jacob when you appear before me. You are Israel. You as a prince, you have reigned with me. Changed his whole identity structure in one moment's time. Shifted him, changed him, gave him a new name. And then he put a new sun upon him. That sun is rising now. That sun is shining on us now. It's a new day. It's like darkness has passed. Everything you knew about God is about to change. All the familiarity we've served God with is about to change. He's going to astonish us. They were astonished beyond astonishment. That's the kind of word we need to hold. That's the inheritance we need to hold. We don't need to cling to what is or what was. We need to cleave to what God said about us. What God said about our inheritance. I want to read this. He's still in the encounter. We've been in this for a time now, but the Lord said, I want you to proclaim it today. When you learn how to stand in the presence of God with your mouth full of his word, your feelings will catch up to you. A lot of people just quit. They quit because they don't think they're being effective. If you keep speaking and keep looking, all your feelings will change. And suddenly your spirit will be flooded with light in glory and grace. And suddenly he'll put a generator inside of you. And the word will get generated by power and it'll just roll out of you. But I saw robes of royalty coming up in here. Angels were bringing royal robes out. I don't know how to explain it, but like the courts, the royalty were up in this sanctuary. And people started entering into their royalty and they didn't know what to do with it at first because it was so new for them. Royalty is a new thing for some people. You've been in the wilderness or in Egypt all your life. You struggle with royalty. Because Egypt made you to have a servant mentality. And I'm not talking about servant people. Bondage servant. That's what mammon wants to do in this hour. That's what our government's trying to do, is put bondage on people. Trying to lock them up. Tell them what to do. That's what mammon does. That's the sons of Anak. Those are the same guys that were sitting upon the promised land when Moses led the 10 spies in there. Anak, it means the collar, to choke, to control. That's what the giants do. They want dominion. And they're sitting illegally on something that belonged to God. God planted that mountain. He led them straight down to Mount Hebron. They went in the promised land. They went down south and they went into the mountain called Mount Hebron. And that's where the giants were. That's where the grapes were. They had to carry the grapes out with staves. They were so big. You ever seen a cluster of grapes like that? I mean, we're in the store looking at a couple with our fingers. They had to carry them out, throw them over a stick. They were so big. That was a mountain that God planted 400 years before they ever got there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all their wives except for one of them, they were all buried in that mountain. Their anointing was buried in that mountain. Their inheritance was buried in that mountain. It started getting into the ground. It started producing fruit. They were going to go there after Jericho. They're going to go get that land. Caleb got it. Caleb to Joshua, he said, you know, he's 85 years old. He talks like he's 20. I want to talk like Caleb did at 85. He said, listen, the strength that was in me 40 years ago, 45 years ago, when I was 40, the same strength's in me now. Man, who wants to be like that at 85? Oh, man, he goes, give me this mountain. Joshua goes, you know the sons of Anak, nobody's asking for that mountain. He goes, I'll take it. You know what he said? They're bread for me. Man, how do you talk like that at 85 years? Usually somebody at 85, they're winding down. He's winding up. He said, no. I've been carrying this far too long. I walked through the wilderness with a bunch of unbelievers and I had to go back until they all died. But I'm still here. The whole generation died, but he didn't die. And Joshua didn't die. You know why they didn't die? Because they kept faith. They kept the word. If you keep faith in your heart, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God. He kept it. 45 years. Some of us can't pray 45 minutes. 45 years holding a promise. God said, you're worthy of it. You can have it. He drove them right out. Okay, back to Jericho. Walking up into the promised land, your spirit has no boundaries. You understand? Your spirit was made in God's class. You're not God, but you were made in that class of spirit. You're made after his image, and your spirit's multifunctional, multidimensional. The problem is, it's like the soul wants to reign, and this world system wants to try to train a spirit that doesn't belong to this world system. When you learn to break out and not be controlled by this system, you can walk in the land of milk and honey before you ever walk in the land of milk and honey. This is what he did with Joshua. So he's still in the encounter, face to face, say Penuel. That's what Penuel means, face to face. When you get in the face of God, stuff happens. The Lord's there with him. He's in Jericho, but he's come out. He's standing face to face with God. Chapter 6, the vision hadn't changed. He's still in front of the face of God. We're going to read this out of the proper translation, the Young's literal. We get so conditioned to believe a certain way that if we don't make the shift within, if we can't make the shift, we won't see what he's doing. He's going to finish this thing before he ever begins it. But he's going to pronounce something there that the Lord has me all over right now. It's a multifaceted jubilee. There's not one jubilee coming. It's multifaceted jubilee. Now say, Jericho shutteth itself up. And is shut up. This is out of Young's. Because of the presence of the sons of Israel, none goeth out and none cometh in. So it sounds like he's out of the vision, but he's still in the encounter with the Lord. And Jehovah saith unto Joshua, see, I have given, not going to give. See, if you're still in the going to give model, you don't understand how the kingdom works yet. The kingdom doesn't work in going to give. The kingdom works from a position that is already finished. Even in the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray this way, thy will be done on the earth as it is already done here. It has to be discovered as completed and then commissioned to be done in the earth from a finished place. So if we're going to operate from a finished place, there's got to be a part of us that can translate into a finished realm. He said, see, I have given the king. It's time for conquest. There are some kings that are going to be brought down in this hour. Mighty ones of valor. And you have compassed the city. All men of battle going around the city once. Thus thou doest 6 days. And 7 priests do bear 7 trumpets of jubilee before the ark. That's the same trumpets that are upon the Lord, the 7 trumpets of the Lord that are upon him. And on the 7th day, you compass the city 7 times. Now in the natural, nothing's being done yet. Joshua hadn't spoke to anyone, but it's all being accomplished inside of him and with him. God finishes this thing before he begins it. It was a necessity that this city be brought down God's way, and he's doing it again. How did he come out to meet him? As the Lord of what? Host. The Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. Who do you think tore the walls down? Before he ever came out to Joshua, he dispatched an innumerable company of angels around the walls. He goes, on the 7th day, you'll drag them down. Those angels pulled those walls down. And look at verse 5. This is powerful. It's not until verse 6 that Joshua actually starts talking to men and say, let's go do this. But look in verse 5. Premier verse. Powerful. And say, it hath been. Say, it hath been. When you get your faith there, instead of it shall be. It's not it shall be. If it shall be, it's still out in front of you. If it hath been, watch this, you're in front of it. If it shall be, you're going to be chasing a carrot. If it hath been, the carrot will be chasing you. You have to get in front of your promise. Listen, when I was chasing promise, I was still in that realm of shall be. I would chase every carrot that came up in front of me, and I chased some pretty big ones out there. I got in a lot of trouble chasing carrots because they all look good to me. Until God stopped all that and said, listen, you're not going to obtain that, what I'm calling you to do, the world's way. You're going to obtain my way. And he goes, I have a different way than the world system. See, the children of Israel saw the acts of God, but the ways of God. It takes wisdom to understand the ways of God. He's training us in his way. See, it hath been in the prolongation of the horn of the jubilee. In your hearing the voice of the trumpet, all the people shout, a great shout, and the wall of the city has fallen. And the people have gone up over against. He walked him into the 7th day. He heard the sound of the horns of jubilee. Those horns of jubilee, they were blasting a day where God was liberating them. Jubilee is a liberation. We understand Jubilee is financial liberation. Every 50 years. That's great if you're the one in debt. Thinking, if I had money, I probably wouldn't be loaning any money about the 47th year, 48th year. I said, you know, let's wait a couple of years. You're going to get a Jubilee. Great for you, not so good for me. But that Jubilee would come wipe out all the debt. Start everybody brand new. Wouldn't that be awesome? The loan system that we have here, it's great if you want some because you get it so easy, but you pay for it for such a long time. I'm not against loans. I'm just saying, there's another realm. As long as those loans are not owning you, Because you get to the point where you just do this, credit card loans, to where they just own you. Well, you know, you can't even pay the minimums. You're in the wrong place. But there's a jubilee, and the horns of jubilee are blowing. But the Lord said there is a multifaceted jubilee coming that's in Jericho now. It's coming as far as, when I say coming, as far as where we are in the natural, where we are in the spirit, it's done. You can actually enter into it. He said there's a jubilee, a body. Do you know what he actually did with that little earth body you're wearing? That little earth body you're wearing? He had to do something with it because he couldn't get it born again right now. Because if your body was born again, it will be basically born again at the sound of the trump. You're going to get a brand new body. Can you imagine God at the sound of the trump in a twinkle of an eye? Your mortal body will take on immortality for all eternity. All God has to do is just say it and it's done. That's the power. But there's something he's done with his body. He had to leave us in it. He's genius. God is genius. He says, look, we got to leave him in that body. Because if we don't leave him in that body, they're going to have to come on to heaven. The body's what gives you authority to walk in the earth. However, to the hungry ones, we can do something with that body. He said, the body is dead. Say dead because of sin. You've been crucified. Literally, legally, that body you're wearing died. Say it died. There's a jubilee. Do you know that your body is not indebted to sin and death anymore? You are no longer in debt. Even though it's born in sin and death and the nature hadn't really changed, legally it has. Legally, he broke its cord. But that's going to have to be executed by faith. I keep telling people all the time. I said, if you want to live free of sickness and infirmity, start presenting your body every day in the Jordan and present that foul umbilical cord from which it was born, that black cord, and call the axe of light down upon it. For the severance, be thou loosed. Every single day, I deny that cord its right to exist into my body. That means the jubilee that's coming. Listen, there is a generation who will receive jubilee in their body where they'll understand who God made them to be and they will literally reverse the aging process. Their faith will grow. Your faith, our faith, my faith will grow to such a level that we will command aging to stop in this body. Age comes from the law of sin and death. When that law of sin and death is severed and broken, this body has a right to roll back. He said, I will restore the years the cankerworm ate. The cankerworm eats your youth. Some people's faster than others. You know, when you live in the glory, you'll keep a certain youth about you. The glory will stay in your body. But what we're talking about is online purpose. Now, some of you youngster, you don't need this. I get that part. But the rest of us, we need it, right? We can present that cord. I'm talking about eternal. When your faith knows that cord is shattered, see, he says, glorify God in your body, in your spirit and in your body, which are God's or which belong to God. Your body belongs, he said, it's a purchased possession. In other words, I buy your body and I'm going to give you a new one, but I'll put it on your account. However, the Bible says he will quicken your mortal body with life. He said that the life of Christ would operate and function in my mortal body. Your mortal body can take on life. We see this in the Mount of Transfiguration. The Mount of Transfiguration is where the body of Christ is going in resurrection generation. Where the glory of God will shine through our body. Where the glory of God will melt away age. He'll present us as a bride without spot, without wrinkle. You should read Genesis 18. Sarah was well stricken in years. She'd been struck. They said, the Bible scholar said, Sarah was probably one of the top most beautiful ladies in all of the world, in all of history. But in Genesis 18, she was 90 years old. She was well stricken twice. It said she well stricken. Not just stricken, but well stricken. But God said, no, 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 no. You are my heirs. I'm going to do something with you. And I'm going to do this again in the last days. My people are going to bear the youth of God. He said, I'm going to visit you at the time of life. I'm going to roll you back into the time of life so all your birthing faculties will birth out. Say, roll me back. Man, by the time Genesis 20 or something comes along and they're down at Abimelech, Abraham's telling him, you're my sister. And she legally was. But he was scared. Abimelech immediately went after her, called for her. God said, touch her and you're a dead man. He had to intervene for Abraham. God rolled them back. They were under covenant with God. You're under inheritance. We have already received a dispensation where God already buried the body, declared it dead, crucified it, buried it, implanted it, and he gave you a new one. It's kind of like in a quasi state of resurrection. To those who understand how to operate it with faith, you can present this body by faith. You can sever the cord and represent it into the glory of God for renewal. And say, renew me. For quickening. There's not very many times I get dislocated from prayer, but the times I do and I stop really connecting, which doesn't happen very often, I lose my strength. I had no idea how much the prayer life is putting life on me. Man, when I'm in there, man, I'll get up. I've got all this stuff on me. When I'm not, I'm like, I walk around dragging around. I'm like, ugh, it's so dull. When he quickens the body, if you learn how to keep it in a certain place, you can remove it. But the Lord said there's a jubilee coming where your body is no longer indebted to the law of sin and death. You're arriving at the jubilee. I hear the trumpet of the jubilee sounding. My body's been freed from that law. No longer a servant to the law of sin and death. Our bodies are receiving a full jubilee. He's rolling back the law of aging from me. Now we're walking out into Jericho. I see a jubilee for my body. I receive a jubilee for my body. I am not indebted to the law of sin and death anymore. No sickness or death coming near my door. See, your faith, you start working and it'll come alive. You get authority over things. You have a shield around you. You present your body into the life of God. The leaves of the tree, the healing of the nations. The Bible said those leaves come every month, brand new leaves. Medicine of the nations flowing up into the body. We are living in a time right now, you gotta do it. You don't get to just sit back anymore. You don't get to trust anything these people are saying out there. You, man, the greatest medicine of all is God's word. The greatest medicine of all. That's one thing. Get your body free. Next thing, roll it back. Our faith is the rolling back. The Bible says he'll roll away the reproach. Egypt, roll away the reproach of the wilderness. I'll roll away the years the cankerworm ate. There are times the cankerworm will eat. It'll eat your life up, eat your soul up. But then God's coming in and rolling a free jubilee. Say, this is the day. In the prolongation of the ram's horn, I hear the sound of jubilee. My body has been set free. I see the sound. I see what I do. I'm on the body today, but I'm going to be all over this. I'm talking mind, body, soul, emotions. How'd you like a jubilee in your soul? Go back into innocence. Before there was ever aught. Before there was ever unforgiveness or betrayal. Before there was ever dysfunction. The word dysfunction. Before there was ever all this stuff that plugs us up. You know, the innocence, love without rejection, the innocence of relationship without all the issues, a jubilee of soul. He rolls the soul. He cuts it all off from the former day. And he causes a new sun to rise upon you in a new way. And your emotions, your response mechanisms all receive a brand new day full of favor. Suddenly, I'm not walking around attracting rejection. I'm walking around attracting favor. I got the year of jubilee upon me. The Son of God's favor is upon me. Everything I touch is blessed. I'll tell you, as I started changing the way I think, things just start happening. I was in Immokalee, Florida, praying one morning, and I got caught up in a major encounter, one of the top three at least in my life. Suddenly, I was pulled up out of my body, and I was floating up atmospherically. The Lord was there, but it was in a vision, and I see like a New York skyline times four. It was just so expansive, so big, so much. It was golden. The whole city was golden. And I saw millions of people in the city. And we were still moving up. And I saw his hand go like this. He said, this is the room of my blessing. This is where most of my people are right here. That understand. He was basically communicating to me. Most people who understand the blessing enter into that city there. They enter into the blessing. But that wasn't what he wanted to show me. What I was quite interested in. And we moved through another layer. It seemed like a cloudy layer or something. And we opened up and we were at the top of a mountain. And we were standing on this plateau. And there was doors there. Like ancient doors. And they were open. And he had this, looked to me would be a key, but it was like a block. It was pure white. It looked like a pure white glory, but a block. But it had like etchings of a key. And I'll explain all that. But he took that. And he shoved that key into my spirit. He said, I'm calling you to be a doorkeeper to what you will see in this mountain. And when I walked in, the doors opened. It was very dark. Well, I was there. I could see the outline of things in there. And I would think, and when you're with the Lord, you don't have to actually speak in the realms of the, you can just think it and he'll answer you. So I'm thinking, why is it so dark in here? And as soon as I said it, he said, it's dark because of two reasons. One is most of everything you see in this mountain's under enemy control. He said, secondly, all the light is upon the realm you pass through, the realm of the blessing. Very few understand the realm of inheritance. He goes, I want you to teach inheritance. And what I saw in that mountain were wealth that was just unreal. Gold, stock certificates, bonds, currency, and just went on and on and on. It was so full in there. And he said, everything that you see in this room must be released before my return. There was a jubilee in there of monumental proportions. There's a difference between blessing and inheritance. Inheritance, God can give you 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years up front. 100 years more than you'll ever need. Generationally, 10 generations deep. This is the way God thinks, by the way. And to do that, he's just not going to hand that to you. He's going to give you something, a means by way to access that. But it has to be built off his word. But it doesn't matter when we're in, when he says, see that I have given. In Jericho is a great, great financial field. It's not church field. There's church money and then there's the world's money. We get that confused sometimes. The world doesn't struggle. The elites, they don't care about people. They have so much. That's why they said, we don't care if your gas prices, we would rather not pollute our air. Control. All pre-planned, by the way. Now it's election coming, they have to drive the prices down just to get reelected, but they don't care. You're not a part of their agenda unless you belong to them. Tax slaves, that's a good one. But there is a jubilee that the world can't see. the brilliant and the brightest colleges can't see what's going on in the heavens. They can't see what's happening beyond the pride of their own minds. But God is going to come in this hour. I'll say it like this. It's better said like this. We're arriving at Destination Jubilee. It's already been there. It was always in the mountain. We have climbed the mountain of God, and now we're entering into the hour of Jubilee, where the freedom and the liberty of the Most High God will be seen. Generational wealth will be released to what the world considers little ones. Generational wealth will be released to heavenly kings. May not look like it in the earth, might wear blue jeans and t-shirts, but they are carrying a glory that's not of this world. They see things that are not of the, they're accessing things that are not of this world. It's a kingdom that takes precedence over this world system. And I don't care how much mammon is touting and spouting and all of the control mechanism. God is not ready for the world to fall under mammon's weight. God has a plan and design. Kings and priests will rule and reign in the earth. They're going to come out of Zion. They're going to come out of the mountain. And God's opening his glorious mountain, and it's coming in the form of a glorious golden river, and it's full of all good things, and it is going to touch down on planet Earth. It is touching down now, and it's going to blow out debt, poverty, lack, and generational debt, poverty, and lack. The problem with giving someone wealth, if you can't change what's inside, it's like people who win the lottery. You know how many people actually retain that wealth? Almost none, because they didn't change in here. Because their soul is remanufacturing the poverty they came out of. The shift has to happen in here. The word of God has to move us from a servant-slave mentality to an heir mentality. I am not a servant of the world system. The freer I get from it, the better. But there's a jubilee. Say a jubilee. I hear the sound of the trumpets blowing and the sound of the prolongation of the ram's horns. A jubilee is blowing, freeing every one of us from the debt, slavery, bondage, and lack of the system of mammon, where the heirs of God will walk the earth and the mountain of God will release its glory. Glorious inheritance. Preach inheritance to those that are sanctified. Walk in the inheritance of this hour. For this is the day. Say, this is the day. This is the hour. Our body will receive jubilee. Who those who can see it and appropriate the faith. Financial generation. Say, generational jubilee. Jubilee, I'm talking 2, 3, 4, 5 generations down, teaching them to operate in soundness of wealth, soundness of generational wealth. Where you don't struggle, where your grandchildren won't struggle, where your spiritual sons and daughters won't struggle, where the church gets paid for before you move, where we're the head, finally, and not the tail. Amen. See, if you live in a realm long enough, in the realm of truth, I'll close with this. The world has to follow you. That's the difference. That's how inheritance works. If your spirit can get out in front of your circumstance, if we're still struggling with our circumstance and struggling, there's something we haven't acquired yet. Truth delivers you from your circumstance. And then it causes your circumstance to then conform to the word of God. That's what he meant by goodness and mercy will follow you. Signs, miracles, wonders, demonstration will what? Follow. You got to be walking somewhere if it's going to follow. You got to be out in front. Say, this is the year. I feel the jubilee of heaven. I'm in the jubilee. I feel the jubilee. I hear the prolongation of the ram's horns.